Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to the Prevailing Word broadcast. The following message is presented by Reverend Abel Asim, Head Pastor, Prevailing Word Church. Enjoy this insightful and anointed message.
Today I want to speak on choosing a life partner. Choosing a life partner. As I've been saying, I want all of us to open our hearts and receive what God has for us, because sometimes you may not know the benefits of the information you are receiving. Are you here? God will raise you up as a counselor. And I believe that a marriage counselor must know as much as possible. You must know far beyond the average person, so that when you are advising and counseling people, you will say the right things. You will not say what you have heard people say without adequate biblical, practical, and sensible tangibility to the whole thing. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. In other words, the advice we give to people must be biblical, must be sensible, must be practical. So I don't want anybody to switch off and think that, oh, me, I've already chosen my partner, this is not for me. No, it is for you, it's for your daughters, it's for the generations to come. Nobody is above the Word of God, and the Word of God will always be a blessing unto us. So the first time we spoke about healthy Christian relationships, and last week we spoke on relationship problems. Today we want to look at choosing a life partner. And I want to invite you to the book of Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1 to 5. Father, we pray that you anoint us. May this session be blessed and blessed indeed. Let your word bring light, understanding, and grant that in this church, part of our heritage will be blessed and stable relationships and marriages. At the end of the day, families in this church will be so healed that will be an extension of your blessing to the body of Christ and the world at large. Thank you for hearing us in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. That thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? Choosing a life partner. I think that this is a few of the Bible passages where you will see clear points that are useful in choosing a life partner. But in this age of competing knowledge, are you here? In this age of competing knowledge, I believe that a pastor must be able to talk about so many things, because there is competitive information out there, and people are, and even sometimes in the church, people are, men are marrying men, and people claim that's how they were born, and this is what is called alternative lifestyle. So I think that a pastor who is a pastor in the 21st century must do more than the pastors did in the days gone by. I think that we have peculiar challenges. Information is so explosive, and people with alternative lifestyles and alternative choices have got their own research, and they are trying to push it out. So a pastor must know a lot to be able to inform his church and guide them. Moreover, I think that the kind of attack that is coming upon families in the name of modernization and civilization is also such that we must know a lot and be stronger in God's word and help, so that our people will make the right choices. Again, choosing a life partner is a major decision, and perhaps it's the greatest decision we will ever take apart from being born again. And so I think that we must spend some time and talk about it. And more often than not, I think that as leaders, we lead the people to do what they think best. But as I've said from the premise, we have too much competitive information to allow our people just to choose. So this is a topic that must be treated and treated and treated and treated and treated and treated the more and treated and allow the thing to ferment and treat it again so that the whole church will have enough information to stand against the wiles of the devil. So choosing a life partner. I think that generally speaking, anybody who is a word-based person, who loves the word of God, is sincere, is seeking to live by God, God's word, is likely to do well. Such a person may naturally be prone to some mistakes, but because of the sincerity of the person's heart, God can easily help you. But what I want to do today is to give you a few solid and clear points upon which our decision for life partners can be made. And let us be aware that we are all going to choose either from the Bible point of view, or we are going to choose as everybody has chosen. And there are people in the world who talk about how experienced they are with women. And when you listen to the experience, you realize that they are all bad experiences. And such people, when they speak, they spill out poison. They make it very, very unhealthy for the young and sincere person who wants to make the right choice to go on well. They scare these people and they are not able to make the right choices. But God's word has a lot to offer us, and I believe that if there is anybody who has more wisdom and authority to talk on relationships and things like that, we should look at King Solomon, whose sample size was 1,000 women. And science will tell you, if you are doing an experiment or a research and you have a sample size of 1,000 subjects, is very significant. See, so God put Solomon there. That's why the Bible says God uses all things for our good. And Solomon said so many things about wives, about husbands, about marriage, about relationships. And anybody who is very serious about his family life must study the book of Proverbs and learn. Because he speaks about men, a kind of man not to go with. For example, he says, don't go with a man who is given to anger. He tells you clearly, don't go with somebody who is given to change. He is giving you absolutes, and it's the word of God. And he talks about the strange woman and how to locate the strange woman. So please, don't go and propose when you don't have adequate information from the Bible. Because you may end up having to break the relationship. And it's not a pleasant thing. You know, so make sure that you have enough information before you can choose. So it is safe to choose based on the word of God, because the word of God is tried and tested. Hallelujah. And there are superficial ways that people choose partners. Are you aware? Some people like popular people. Some ladies want popular people. I want a man, a boy who is popular. I don't think you are well. I don't mean to be abusive. Sorry, forgive me. You mean somebody who is popular so that what? So when I'm walking with him, I will be greeting, people will be receiving. Oh, you'll be so tired. You must be a politician. If that is your mind, just be a politician. Okay, you have a lot of people to greet you. So the superficial things that sometimes people look at are a person's popularity. I want somebody who is clever. I want somebody who is handsome. I want somebody whose voice is like a male. I want somebody who is nicely shaped. I want a woman who is nicely shaped. I want a woman with a nice face. These things may have their own place, okay? Because I think that whatever, wherever you choose must be somebody that you love and you are comfortable with. So I don't want to just rubbish all that I've said. You may need somebody who is clever. You may need somebody who is well-shaped and all those things. You may need them. I'm saying that they are not good foundations for a thing like a life partner. They are not at all. They are good foundations for advertisement. You want somebody to advertise a product for you. Of course, get a very good person to match up. You see, so if you want to sell something that will look beautiful on people, you must of course get beautiful ladies to wear it, to display it. It sells. And if we are talking about marriage, please don't say, I want somebody who is beautiful. Because somebody who is beautiful per se may not be a good wife at all. Hallelujah! Somebody who is clever may not be a good husband at all. So you must look at some deeper things. And when you get those deeper things, then you may add these things that I call cosmetics to make the thing look nice. In that case, you have a solid foundation and the building also looks nice. But believe me, it won't do you well when you choose a life partner simply based on superficial things like height, like color, like tribe, like cleverness, like popularity, like nice face, like nice shape, like the way she walks, like the way he walks, and the deepness of his voice. These things are not ingredients for a good marriage. Hallelujah. They are not even spices. They don't come in at all. Hey, if they don't come in, then what are we supposed to look at? Look at the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. So I'm going to show you 7 deep things to consider. Number 1. If you want to choose a life partner, look for somebody who has a fear of God in him, in her. This is so important. You may take it for granted, but a person with a fear of God is a person who will be a good wife, who will be a good husband. Look for that one first. Don't look for all the other things. Look for this one first. Does he have the fear of God? Does she fear the Lord? Look at Psalm 128. Psalm 128 and verse 1 and what? Blessed is every man that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Don't you want that the person you marry shall be well with the person? So God is telling you, the man that fears the Lord, said, blessed is everyone, not just males, not just females, not just boys, not just girls. He said, everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in the ways of God. So look for that one first. Then he's telling you the benefits. For thou shalt eat the labor of your hands. It means the person's work will be blessed. Hallelujah. I want, and I believe that you want your husband's work to be blessed. You want your wife's work to be blessed. Then look for somebody who has a fear of God in them. He said, happy shall thou be. You want happiness in the relationship. Happy shall thou be. And the Bible says, it shall be well with thee. Hallelujah. Then God is giving us specifics now. He said, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine. The vine stands for cheerfulness. And fruitfulness means fruitfulness. It means that your wife will be fruitful. She will have children. That's a guarantee. It means that your wife will cheer you up. And listen, if you get a wrong woman, you will die early than expected. Sorrow. You don't know. Sorrow and worry and anxiety, it kills people faster than some of these physical things we talk about. You see? And there are diseases that cannot be diagnosed physically because the root of the disease is worry. It's psychological. And when you are worried, these things affect the organs. They secrete chemicals that must not be in your system for a long time. They must just be there temporarily to make you act. Say, run away from a thief or an armed robber. But if you are worried and anxious, it means your body is always fighting and these chemicals are constantly released. You are not going to live long. You're going to look older than expected. You are going to look weak. You'll not be happy. But God is guaranteeing us happiness in our relationship. And he says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the size of the house. Then God talks about the children. He says, thy children like olive plants run about thy table. Then verse 4, he said, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. He wanted to emphasize it. So you want to marry, you want to choose a life partner, choose somebody who fears God. Because of time, I don't want to emphasize it anymore, but it's very important. Such a person's work will be blessed. Wife will be blessed, or husband will be blessed, the children will be blessed. But if you don't choose according to God's directives, you're going to have the children all right, you're going to have the job, but you're going to run into some troubles. Number 2, choose somebody with a clean break from the past. If you want to choose somebody as a partner, don't choose somebody who has got lingering interest in a previous relationship. He has broken with that person, but when you hear him talk, you can see that he still has got some interest in the previous relationship. Lingering interests, and regrets. Once the person has entered into a relationship with you, the regrets should be over with and done with. Otherwise, you must think twice. Because he will use you as a spare tire until he can get the opportunity to go back to the previous relationship. So I'm saying, do not allow yourself to be fooled. One day Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he had to pass through Samaria and some other villages. He sent the disciples to go ahead of him. The Bible tells us that they found a place for Jesus in Samaria. But when Jesus got to Samaria, the people looked at him and they saw that his face was set to go to Jerusalem. And the Bible says they didn't entertain him. Do you get the principle? Then some brothers said, should we call fire? Jesus said, no. Jesus moved on to the next village. So when you realize that somebody's face is set in a certain direction, The way he talks, he's still comparing you to a previous relationship and asking you to back up to that point. Look, my dear sister, walk out of the guy's life and be free. Because that comparison is not going to end. Are you here? Okay. So choose somebody who doesn't have, who has a clean break from the past. And when you want to marry somebody, ask the person about his past. Have you been in a relationship before? How many relationships have you entered so far? Get these things. Are vital. Don't say, oh, the past is past. God has cleansed all those in place. That is God. As for you, find out. Hallelujah. Okay? Okay? So somebody with a clean break from the past. And that also means that he shouldn't be somebody with bitterness. Because the bitterness is going to affect you. What this lady did to me, I will never forgive him. I will never forgive her. What this man did to me, I will never forgive him. That bitterness will spring up, and Bible says it will trouble many. So if you are here and you have been hurt by somebody treated unfairly from a previous relationship, let it go. Maybe you have been delivered from an evil to come, most assuredly. You have been delivered from an evil to come, so let it go. Don't say, I will make him regret. Please, let the bitterness go. That's all part of clean break from the past. You see, and if you don't do that, you say, Pastor, I will always be angry with him. Then you will always have bad chemicals in your body. Because that's what anger does. You don't know, that's what I'm telling you. To me, I like health information. And I read a lot about health issues. It doesn't matter how big the book is, I read it. I don't mean the anatomy, no. The application, how it affects us. So you don't know, if you know what I'm saying is true. If you don't know, take what I'm saying. That I will never forgive him. These things are not good. Let it go and move on with your life. So the first thing is that the person must have the fear of God. Number two, must be somebody who has a clean break from the past. Number three, you should be somebody you are comfortable with. The person you want to marry, you must be comfortable with the person. You must not be somebody that you are behaving like it's okay with him. Don't pretend it's okay with him if it's not okay. See, if it's not okay, it's not okay. Don't pretend. And don't marry such a person. You must marry somebody you are comfortable with. In other words, when you get into the person's company, you feel loved, you feel accepted. You enjoy the person's company. He enjoys your company. Such a person is good to think about when it comes to choosing a life partner. Okay? So choose somebody you are comfortable with. Not somebody who is always telling you, the way your education is subsidized, you must learn more. If I say that, you understand. He's always telling you that your education is too low and he's worrying you with it. Maybe he has to leave you and go for somebody who is already made. And I'm not saying you don't need to improve yourself. I've said it in previous lessons. I'm saying you should not be, the person should make you comfortable. Even if he's encouraging you to back up, it should not be out of, it should not be punitive, like he's trying to punish you. If you don't do it, I won't marry you. It should not be like that. It should be somebody who accepts you for the way you are. Somebody who loves you for the way you are. Somebody who acts up to you in a positive way. Hallelujah. One day, a brother came to me with a sister. He said, I want to marry the sister. So, I like asking questions. So, I asked the sister, I said, do you want to marry this brother? She smiled. She said, yes. And I asked, I said, do you love this brother? He said, the love will grow. And I knew the brother was in trouble. When she said, the love will grow, I knew the brother would be in trouble. Why, Pastor? Does love not grow? Yes, love grows. But you see, somebody that you want to marry, I expect that there will be some fire between the two of you already. But she said, the love will grow. So I knew the brother was a spare tire. If the real one came along, she was going to leave the brother. And that is exactly what happened. See, so some of you young sisters, you don't know things, so. The answers we receive, they tell us things that you don't know. And say, oh, Pastor, he loves me. He even bought fried rice and chicken. Fried rice and chicken. Don't bring yourself. What is fried rice and chicken? Talking of solid, deep things. You are talking about fried rice and chicken. Or he even bought me a dress. Please, don't talk to me about a dress. We are looking at deep things to consider in order to have a good marriage. Are you here with me? When Isaac had Rebecca in his life, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 24, verse 67, that Isaac was comforted. He was comforted. That's what I'm saying. Look for somebody who gives you comfort. And if you read Galatians 4:28, it said, as Isaac was, so are we. So I'm trying to link the thing up. It should be somebody, Antoinette, it should be somebody who loves you. Stand up. Do you have a beloved? Do you love him? Do you love him?
Yes, I do.
Does he love you?
Yes,
Do you feel that he loves you and you love him? I can see from your eyes. Because the eye is already dancing. Have you seen love eyes before? They dance. They are very shady. It's like somebody who is drunk. Hallelujah. Next point. Look for somebody you are proud of or you can be proud of. Don't choose somebody that you'll be shy to introduce. Don't accept somebody you'll be shy to introduce. Choose somebody you are proud of or can be proud of. Somebody that you can say, this is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Somebody you can say, my beloved is mine, I am his. His banner over me is love. It's not like when people are coming and you tell them, kiss it, my friends are coming. They're going to ask you who you are. If a brother and his sister does these things to you, it's a danger sign. That she's not proud of you. She's not too happy with you. So you must choose somebody that you can be proud of. That's why you choose wisely. That's how you take your time to choose. You don't choose out of pity. You don't say, you don't do that. Such people, it's God who takes care of them. Don't carry things you are not qualified to carry. And what about the other sisters? Let God take care of the other sisters. Choose somebody you love. Somebody you are proud of. So that you don't stand somewhere and say, you don't do that. God is nobody's father-in-law. He doesn't intend to be. He's God. Hallelujah. So it should be somebody you are proud of. You like the person. You love the person. If he asks you, am I the most beautiful person? Don't worry. You are the most beautiful person. Don't let the words even land. Are you here? That is why sometimes I tell brothers, I say, it is not enough to say that, and many of you, I know when I say such things, you don't understand. It's not enough to say that God has led me to marry the sister. God leads us to marry people. God tells people, you should marry the sister, you'll be better off with her. After God has said that, I know God, and I know that he will show you things about that sister. Naturally, that will make you proud of her. Make it easy for you to accept. If you're having problems with it, open your eyes. There may be things about her that you are not discovering. So I don't want you to shut your world in by just saying that, me, I didn't want to marry, but God said I should marry and I have no choice. I have to obey God. Give me something more than that. Pray and say something more with the sister. Because she may be the most gentle sister in the planet Earth now. Yeah, but you don't know it. So all you are saying is that God told me to marry. I'm saying when it comes to dealing with human beings, I don't even like speaking that way. Although it may be so. Because human beings want to see things they can relate with. Hallelujah. So choose somebody you can be proud of. Somebody you are proud of. Hallelujah. Amen. And sisters, don't let a man tell you that, oh, me, I've got everything. The kitchen is finished. The cooking utensils, everything. Today, cry, if you want to come, you can come home. The home is warm. No. You ask yourself, what am I entering the marriage with? Because some of these men who brag and say, oh, don't work, I'll take care of you and all those things. Those men, they'll turn around and say, you cow, always in the house. Look at how big you have become for not working. Eating and sleeping. Is that all you can do? Same man, his tongue has changed. See, so you yourself, make yourself, put yourself in a mood that people will be proud of. Hallelujah. When somebody comes to you, try and find out, why do you want to marry me? Don't say, Pastor, I mean, be some uncle or uncle. Listen, why do you want to marry me? Let him speak. I want to marry you because, and I like asking those questions. Why do you want to marry me? There are so many sisters in the world, so many sisters in the church. Why do you want to marry me in particular? Why? Let him talk. If he only tells you, God said it. Find some more reason. Otherwise, go and tell him. Tell God to show you some things about me because there are nice things about me. And sister, you need for him to see those things for your own security. Hallelujah. Amen. So it should be somebody you are proud of. Somebody you believe has faith in you and your future. When God brought Eve to Adam, Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Adam completely accepted Eve and he was proud of Eve. You never saw Adam blaming Eve even for the fall. Anyway, he said, the woman that you gave me. But it didn't destroy the relationship. Number five. Look for somebody your parents will be comfortable with. I spoke a lot about this last week. I don't want to belabor it, but it's important. So that means that even before you choose to accept somebody's proposal, you must find out what your parents think about who a good husband or good wife is. Talk with them. And there are some of you say, oh, me, I don't talk to my parents about relationships. So, and parents, let's make ourselves available for our children to talk to us about everything. Hallelujah. So, you must find out what your parents think. Let's look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 34. Genesis 26, verse 34. Choosing a life partner. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. The two wives that Esau chose were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Let's step over to chapter 27 and look at verse 46. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? In other words, Rebecca was saying that the wife my son chooses is going to have a bearing on my life. And dear church members, there are blessings our parents can give us. But I've realized that many Ghanaian parents don't know how to bless their children when they are going to marry. They don't know how to do it. And in this case, we must go and talk to our Nigerian brothers and sisters. One day, I was in a Nigerian film. Somebody was going to marry. Do you know what the person did? He knelt before his father, kneeled, and asked for his father. His father said, kneel before me. His father put his hands on him and blessed him. I said to my wife, I said, hey, Nigerians. It was not portrayed that the man was a Christian in the full moon. He said, come, my son, come, come. May God bless you. But I have not found a Ghanaian parent saying, kneel my son, kneel my daughter, let me bless you. We don't do it. It's not that Nigerians, they are very wild people. When you watch their film, can't you see that their halls are big? They have got money. They appropriate promises. Nigerian Christians in the world today, they are not easy to play with. Oh. Big churches. And what I've been told, that if you go to the church site, it's like a whole village, not one person, many pastors. Assets have to use small cars like they use at the golf pitch to drive through. Assets, they don't work, they cannot walk. So they drive on those small vehicles to usher people in here and there. Our churches are so small that we walk. And when Nigerians speak, we make fun of them. But they do so many things we need to learn from them. Not the arm robbery and the drugs and the 419. But come, my son, let me bless you. That one we need. So when your children are going, let them kneel before you. Let the son kneel before you. It's a spiritual thing. You know why we kneel before God? It's a spiritual thing. Charismatics, many times we don't understand it. Because we always, it's just by grace. It's not the kneeling that is important. Sometimes one needs to kneel. So you kneel and you tell your father, Mommy, tomorrow is my engagement. Bless me. And you, the mother, don't say, bless you. That's a problem with many families. So it has made the pastors take on more responsibilities. Sometimes if you're a pastor, you have to be somebody's father as well and take care of the person. I don't like such things. So I want to encourage. Stand up. One day we're doing an outdooring or something like that. let's go on. Time, let's go on. So somebody your parents will be comfortable with. Number six. It should be somebody who has a strong foundation in the Word. Somebody who has a strong foundation in the Word of God. The person you want to marry must have a strong foundation in the Word of God. It will save you a lot of problems. So if you're a Christian brother, learn the Word. It's the Word that will put your life over. The Word. Learn the Word. Buy tapes on the Word. One day I asked her, I said, you're coming to marry. How many tapes on marriage do you have? She didn't have many. I was very surprised. Buy tapes. This series I'm doing, I'm going to do a seminar in addition to it. Because there's a lot to be said. I'm going to do a seminar. And the seminar is just for those who want to come. This one, you are forced to listen. I want to do a seminar for those who want it, who need it, so that we can be more casual and ask questions and answer them. I want to do it next week, Sunday, 6 o'clock. We'll do it here. Even if it's one person, we'll just sit outside under our newly developed trees and we'll talk. Somebody who has a strong foundation in the Word of God. This will help you to come out of your challenges faster. See, because in a relationship, in a marriage relationship, there will always be, this is what I think, and this is what I think. At the end of the day, we need to find out what shall we do. Sometimes we don't have to compromise. In other words, many times they will say that, oh, if this is what you think and this is what I think, let's have a compromise. Sometimes the compromise will not help the marriage. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Many people think, oh, you should just compromise. No, sometimes the compromise, it will destroy the thing. Sometimes, and many times, you need to find out what has God got to say about it. One day, Abraham's wife got up and she said, I want Hagar to leave the house. I want Ishmael to live with Hagar. Abraham said no. Sarah said yes. Abraham said no. Sarah said yes. Abraham said no. Bible says the thing gripped Abraham so much. His heart became heavy. And maybe when Sarah said, Abraham, Yankees is there, it's been already. Abraham said, a communism. Because the only son that he had, the firstborn was a son. At that time, Sarah wanted the boy to leave the home. Bible says it hurt Abraham so much. Do you know what happened? Abraham did not say, let's have a compromise. Let him go and spend some time in Egypt and then come back. God was setting the tone for us and for our marriages and relationships. The Bible says God came on the scene and God said, Abraham, don't let what Sarah has said grieve you. Everything she has said, do it. Because Isaac is the child of promise. Abraham could see that. Sarah could see that Abraham is going to have conflict of interest. See, a wife can be a troubleshooter. Can see the problem miles away and shoot it. Bang! But the men, we want facts and we cannot see. She feels that the Hagar must go now. Ishmael must go. Abraham is not comfortable with it. Abraham is a man of God. He did not know the mind of God on this issue. That's why when you stand up and say, I'm the man of the house, it's rubbish, it's nonsense. Because the man of the house is not the embodiment of the sum total of all wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Look at great men and great women. They made mistakes. So don't shoot your mouth. I'm the man of the house. When I speak, it's final. Please, don't do that. When you do that, it means you are an insecure man. Hallelujah. A secure man does not need to tell you his title. Or you don't know that. Oh, great men are not called by their titles. We stand here today, we say, and Moses. Moses, he saw God's back. Moses, if you lifted your voice against him, God got on your case. Moses. We don't say prophet Moses. We just say Moses. And we say Jesus. And when we say Benihim. And when we say Ike, say brother, you're not trying to give me respect. I am. Engineer Ike. In a certain sense, I'm not just saying drop the titles and just be casual about it. Sometimes the titles, they help us. As I'm saying, our community has got so degenerated that we need to teach things, sometimes even teach titles that call people by their titles. It will help you to receive from them. Because we have become too unspiritual and casual. In those days, they were very spiritual. So we don't see things like Prophet Isaiah. No, Isaiah. So I'm saying all this to say that you don't need to square your shoulders and say, if you are the man of the house, is she not the woman of the house? Is she not the woman of the house? And are the children not the children of the house? Why are you stating the obvious? Hallelujah. Anytime you find yourself trying to tell people what you are and who you are, know that your leadership has become limited. That's how come you have to tell people who you are. Otherwise, you just have to flow. So what's number six? Strong foundation in the word. So God said, everything Sarah has said, do it. That's my will. Now God has given us his will. He may not come in and speak, but this is his will. When you have a conflict with your wife, with your husband, find out what has the Bible got to say. It's not compromise. The compromise may not take you far. It may work. It may bring peace for some time. It may not take you far. Let us all together go into the word. What has God got to say about it? This is what God says. Let's do it. So that I submit myself to the word, my wife submits herself to the word, God rules in the family as the Lord. And we will go higher that way. Because all of us here, with all our education, are not that smart. Are not that clever. Our passions lead clever and intelligent people sometimes to make mistakes that cost their families dearly. It's not cleverness, no. There is more to life than being clever, being intelligent. And by the way, intelligent people are not necessarily successful people in their marriages. Sometimes their intelligence destroys the marriage. So be careful saying that Marcus Kus no mean they know. If you have married a person, accord their full respect. Don't say your education is subsidized, so I have to take all the decisions. Finally, you must choose somebody you have prayed about and are led to marry. Choose somebody you have prayed about. And there is a reason why I put this for last. In other words, I don't want you to skip all these important signals and just say that, oh, Father, I prayed about it, and that's all. If I ask you, you have prayed about it, the man, does he have a work? He said, no, he's believing God for a work. What qualification does he have? He's believing God for qualification. I'm not sure you'll be happy with what I will tell you. Then he should believe God for the qualification, and when he is qualified, he can move on. You know what I discovered today when I was reading Psalm 128? I discovered that God blessed the man's work first. Then God blessed the man's wife second. And then God blessed the children third. So the man's work must be blessed first. So if you're a brother, sometimes if you don't have a stable job, then sometimes you must tap a little. If I say that, do you understand? You must take it easy. That is not to say, if you don't have a job and you are grown, you have qualification and everything, you should wait till you get a job. No, that is also not good. But some of you, you may have to hold on just a little bit. That's for you, not for the other person. So it should be somebody you have prayed about, and pray about the person. You mention the person's name and pray about the person. Pray about the person. Pray. Sometimes when you begin to pray about the person, things will come to you. You'll be very surprised. Things will come to you. And you ask the person, has something like that happened to your life before? Yes, the person has not told you, but it's a significant thing. You pray about the person. God shows you things about the person. This is the kind of life you will have if you marry so and so. Then you think about it. You seek counsel about it. You pray about it. And God tells you that, my daughter, I'm telling you, when you marry this guy, you will have this type of problem. Is this something you want? Then you pray about it. You still find it. You find that uneasiness, that thing, that caution keeps coming up. Although all these things, he knows the word and all. Because somebody who knows the word may not be. You may have so many brothers who know the word. Which one should you marry? You cannot marry all of them. You certainly have to choose one of them. So you may have all these things falling in place, 1 to 6. But 7, as you pray, the unction, the anointing in you tells you that. Just hold on. You must learn to hold on. If you spend time to pray and wait, you will save yourself the time of regret and pain. It pays to wait. So when you are happy about the choice, you feel happy inside, you have the confirmation or the witness of God, then you go ahead if you're a man to propose. Then you accept the proposal if you're a woman. So I encourage church members, don't put people under too much pressure. No more 3 days, make up your mind, please. It's a life decision. Don't threaten the sister. She's going to pray prayers based on anxiety. And such prayers, you hear voices you shouldn't hear. When Satan speaks, they say it's God. Do you understand if I say that? Because Satan appears as an angel of light. It takes too much prayer to expose him. Sometimes when Satan is preaching, you'll be amazed. And he preaches. Today I hear Satan preaching. Somebody calls himself a representative of Lucifer. He's preaching and telling people, come to me. We are going to be together. We are going to have freedom. And he says, my name is Lucifer. You are talking about cults. So I want you as church members and those who are listening to me, we want God to touch our marriages, touch our relationships, grant us peace, and give us peace of mind. Because as I said last week, if you enter a relationship, it's dangerous ground too. You may either go and impregnate somebody ahead of time. And mind you, God did not bless the children first. You don't have a work, you don't have a wife, but you have a child. Hey, danger. You can become sick. Somebody killed himself because it is alleged that the woman that he loved left him, hanged himself and killed himself. If any church member does that, and I learn, when I come, I will whip your corpse. Because for all the word that we taught you, if this is how you want to end your life, your corpse will not be free. I say, yes, sir, but I'm serious. In other words, the word you are hearing, live by it. Live by, submit yourself to the word. If you live by it, God will help you. So pray about it, be comfortable about it. 1 John 2:20-27 says that the unction is in us, the anointing is in us, and he will teach us the way to go. So don't say, me, God does not speak to me. When it comes to these things, God speaks to everybody. He speaks differently, but he speaks to everybody. The Lord bless you. I'm going to see you next week. Next week, we'll talk about avoiding difficult relationships. There are some people you shouldn't enter into a relationship with them. It's a non-starter. You want to look at them. Four types of men, three kinds of women. But the three does not mean the women are better. The content is the most important thing. Please rise up on your feet and put your hands together for the Lord.
We believe your life was impacted by the prevailing word. For copies of this and other messages, call 0244-228-301 or visit the church premises on the Southern Road, 3 minutes drive from St. Peter's International School, West America. God bless you. Bless you.
Believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055 +233 26 767 6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com info@godswordforus.com